Hey, I'm Ashley Lemieux, and I'm here to help guide you through your grief and healing. With a little humor and a lot of heart, I help you find your unique path to healing and peace. Each week, dive into the world of mental wellness from navigating grief to embracing who you are. Listen to Healing Her wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Sprout Living. One of our favorite new snacks are Sprout Living's probiotic almonds. Wildly delicious and irresistibly crunchy, these are the perfect gut-healthy balanced snack. Each pack of the sprouted and activated organic almonds contain 10 billion CFUs of probiotics, 6 grams of clean plant protein, and a variety of other superfood spices and herbs that do the body good.
They're made without seed oils, which we all know are out. And the flavors. The Italian truffle is delicious, and the dairy-free cheddar cheese made with turmeric and nutritional yeast always hits the spot. Honestly, we may never have another chip again. Sprout Living also makes our favorite plant-based protein blends. My personal favorite is the coffee flavor.
If you want to try Sprout Living, you can save 20% off your entire order by using code COURAGEOUS at checkout. Visit www.sproutliving.com and use code COURAGEOUS to save 20%. Give them a try and let us know if you love them as much as we do. You can also find the direct links in our show notes. Welcome to Courageous Wellness. My name is Erica Stein.
And I'm Allie French, and this is a podcast about individual journeys within wellness and how to navigate it all.
After Allie experienced a cancer diagnosis in her 20s,
and Erica went through a self-love journey, we created a platform to interview real people from all walks of life that have combined all types of practices. From physical wellness to emotional and spiritual, we hear courageous stories and focus on why it's important to share them.
We are both certified integrative nutrition health coaches, and together with our community, are learning to live our most purposeful lives by sharing one courageous story at a time.
It takes courage to share these journeys, and by talking about them, we aim to destigmatize the process. We want you to be your own health advocate, feel educated and informed on the latest in health and wellness, and empower you to feel your absolute best.
And because we want to bring forth a wide variety of stories, the opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect our own, but we hope the diverse and varied stories will empower you to make the best choices for your own life. So join us as we and our community share our courageous wellness. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to this week's episode of Courageous Wellness. We have a really wonderful conversation today with Royce, the founder of Well Girl, and we get to talk all about journaling, which I love. And I've been using her journal that she created, the Roses, Thorns, and Buds journal, and I love it. So we're really excited to get into this conversation today. But before we do, we're going to do our weekly updates. And so, Allie, how are you doing? How is your week going?
Good. It's going well. Thanks. It's funny, my husband and I have decided to embark on a sourdough journey in our home, which is, it's so funny because it was such a trend during the pandemic, but we're a few years behind the curve on this. But part of the sort of impetus to do this was, you know, as our audience knows, I'm always talking about the power of balancing our blood sugar and being really conscientious for blood sugar balance and energy, like elongating our energy curves. And the interesting thing about sourdough bread is that it functions very differently from other, like all other types of bread, and from a glycemic perspective. So, and I learned this firsthand. I experimented with this when I was using a continuous glucose monitor and tracking my blood sugar. And I had been given a sourdough pretzel. It was like at a brew pub kind of place. And I was like, oh, I'm going to have this, but man, oh man, I'm going to spike. And it was actually real sourdough and nothing happened to my glucose levels. It was pretty remarkable. I mean, I was sitting there, 20 minutes goes by, 30 minutes goes by, and I'm like, what is happening? And then it occurred to me that it was sourdough. And so the thing is, the bummer of all this is like the sourdough that we often find at like Whole Foods or, you know, the grocery store, Trader Joe's. If you look in the ingredients, it's actually not real sourdough, because real sourdough is painstakingly long process to actually make. So it's not necessarily like economically efficient for companies to make real sourdough. Yes, there are those that do, but not the bigger brands at bigger grocery stores. So anyway, I was like, let's try it. Let's make some of our own. And my husband's been the sourdough master, but we've been trying to make our own starter. And if anybody who's done this before knows, it's very difficult. We've had to scrap a couple batches, but it's really remarkable. And we're baking our first loaf today. So finally, we got an active starter. It took over a week, but we're here. I'm very excited to try this out. And I hope it tastes delicious.
I'm excited to hear this, because in a couple weeks, I will be staying with Allie for Expo West. And I'm very excited about that. So also tune in a couple weeks, because if you follow us on Instagram, I'm sure we will be posting all the content. And I love getting to stay at Allie's. But I'm also now very excited, because when I do go to Allie's, I get spoiled with food. And you guys make such delicious food. And now I'm really excited, because I'm hoping there will be some sourdough when I come.
Yes.
Selfishly.
If it's successful and we have it, keep it going for the next 2 weeks. Yes, absolutely.
I'm excited. Yeah.
So what's new with you? What are your updates?
Well, so the last couple weeks I was out of town, you know, visiting family. My husband's family is in South Florida. We were over there, and, I'm a little tired, and we took a red eye back. So I'm a little tired and a little out of it, but it was so funny, because if anybody is a dog parent, it's not funny at all, but you know, I love my parents. They were puppy sitting our puppy, and we pick her up. She's not a puppy. She's going to be 2 in April, but she's going to be a puppy forever in my eyes. But we pick her up, and I'm petting her and I'm loving on her. And all of a sudden, I feel, fortunately, nowhere she could lick or eat, gum lodged into her fur. Lodged. And I am so proud of how my husband and I handled it, because I'm like, sneak peek into how we'll be parents. We were so calm, and we're like, okay, we got to deal with this gum, you know.
And
we're also jet lagged and tired, and we had just gotten home. So I start Googling, how do you get gum out of
a dog,
out of fur? And it was, you know, it was like lodged there. So I was like, oh my gosh, is it in her skin? So anyway, if anyone needs gum removing hacks, peanut butter is actually one of the ways. It's the oils. You can use other oils, but peanut butter is dog safe. As long as it's like the ingredients, just like with humans, check your ingredients. Ingredients have to just be peanut butter. So fortunately, that's the only type of peanut butter we have in our house. So I literally took 90 minutes from start to finish, because then we give her a bath. We covered her dog basically in peanut butter. Like, obviously we didn't cover her in peanut butter, but in this area. And we were just like, and she was such an angel, and she was such a good girl. Aww. And we thought, you know, we thought she would like love the peanut butter. And I was like, oh, she must have had so much fun. She doesn't even care about human food. She just was like loving the extra cuddle she was getting while we're like pulling
gum out of her
gum with the peanut butter out. But it worked. So basically my update, it's not even an update. It's just, you know, I just got home. We're recalibrating. I had a terrible sinus infection too. So I'm just kind of like getting back into my routine.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to share the tip of gum and peanut butter. It does work. It might take a little bit, but it's great. She was wonderful. She got properly groomed this morning. So she's looking wonderful. And my dad, who really, it's like, she loves my dad. My dad and my dog are like best friends. He was so upset. He was like, how did this happen?
Oh.
But I didn't want to make him feel bad, but
right.
I was like, Dad, get it together with the gum around the pup. So that's what I'm dealing with. So I'm a little sleepy, but happy to be back, happy to be home. You know, there is, if anybody too, this sinus infection is apparently going around. So lots of vitamin C, all of that, but yeah, so I'm still kind of on the mend. resting. Yeah. Happy to be home though.
That's happy to have you back. And I just want to say before we get into Royce's formal intro, I'm also really enjoying the journal. I'm not as much as we share in the episode a little bit. Like I don't have as much of a sort of traditional journaling history or routine as Erica does. But what I really appreciate about this one is the structure of it. Like it gives me sort of prompts, the rosebud, roses, thorns, and buds, I should say. And I love it too, because it frames like ways to really be aware and acknowledge like the good stuff and have appreciation for that. And then also be honest with like what you're struggling with. And then also it leaves you with the buds, like from a place of sort of optimism, I think, at the end. And so I appreciate kind of the structure of it too. So I just wanted to share that. But with that, should we get into it?
Yes, let's do it. So today on the podcast, we welcome Royce Cook, the founder and visionary behind Well Girl. Royce offers a fresh take on the conversation around journaling, which helped her overcome her own self-doubts through discovering a method that's both approachable and consistent. Well Girl started as a passion project in 2023, with Royce sharing journal prompts, quotes, and affirmations with women seeking community on their wellness journeys. It began as a simple Sunday newsletter with journaling inspiration and has bloomed into an intimate community of women devoted to personal development.
Through the inspiring Well Girl Instagram page, supportive email newsletter, and the Roses, Thorns, and Buds journal, she's injected warmth and compassion into every element and has curated the brand to uplift and empower women from all stages of life. Today, we discuss breaking free from journaling stereotypes, the flaw in traditional approaches to journaling, and the benefits of a journaling practice. We really enjoyed this conversation, as Erica mentioned, and we hope you will too.
Hi guys, before we get to today's episode, we want to share how excited we are to offer our community 20% off their first order at Sakara with code XOCOURAGEOUS. We have been big fans of the company for years, and the Sakara Life Organic Meal Delivery Program is based on a whole food, plant-rich diet that includes fresh, nutrient-dense, and delicious ingredients. It's perfect for those weeks you need a refresh or don't have time to meal prep.
They also have a clean boutique, which offers delicious food forward bars, snacks, beauty water drops, and my personal favorite, metabolism super powder, which works to fire up your metabolism, stabilize blood sugar, eliminate bloat, and decrease puffiness. The naturally rich, low sugar, dark chocolate flavor is perfect for smoothies or simply mixed with coffee and nut milk. I also regularly use the Sakara cookbook full of plant-rich recipes, which you can purchase on their website. Click the link in our show notes to visit sakara.com and use code XOCOURAGEOUS for 20% off your first order. We know you will love it as much as we do. Now, on to the episode. Thank you, Royce, for joining us today. Erica and I are really happy to have you on the show. Just to get us started, can you share with our listeners a little bit about who you are and your personal background?
Yeah, I am Royce Cook, and I'm a professional technical writer by trade. So I work in tech, and that's kind of what I love to do. I love, you know, professional writing and writing for different tech companies. But January of last year, I finished my master's degree, felt very burnt out by that, and wanted to embark on my own wellness journey. And that's when I started, you know, going to the gym more and being more serious when it came to journaling. So I would source journal prompts from Pinterest, prompts, quotes, affirmations, and it helped me so much in my own like recovery from being very burnt out and this academic perfectionism. And I wanted to share those prompts with other women that may have, you know, felt the same way as I did at the time. So I created Well Girl, and it started as a newsletter, and I would put the journal prompts in the newsletter. I called it Beat the Sunday Scaries, and I would send it out every Sunday, and it was really well received. You know, we started as just a small community and bloomed and blossomed into this intimate collective of women that are so excited and dedicated to their own self-development journey.
Thank you for sharing that. I know we were just talking a little bit off recording about journaling, and I'm a really big journaler. And it's interesting though, because I journaled all through college, which is really interesting. And then on and off through like middle school and high school. But I kind of stopped journaling from, I guess, after college. So between like 21 and maybe like 26 or 27, I didn't journal at all. And then I rediscovered it, and it was completely different than my former journaling life, right? Like before, I would say it was almost like a diary. And this is journaling, right? Where I would do brain dumps and really just like get my emotions out on paper. And can you maybe talk to us a little bit about some of those benefits of journaling? Because I think for a long time, I really thought journaling was diary keep, because that's what it had been for me. And it's not that it's not that anymore, but it's so much more. So can you maybe explain kind of like the granular details of like, what is journaling, why it's so beneficial, and how it did benefit and change your life?
Yeah, I love what you said about journaling feeling like at the time a diary, right? And so when we think about that, it's very like dear diary, it's very, can seem very like the immature stages of your development. And so when you rediscover it as an adult, it feels like, okay, this feels more serious. And so the benefits, I think you realize even more, like, you know, less anxiety or less depression, you're able to sleep well at night because you're getting all the things off your mind and you're able to relax more. Some unexpected benefits are nurturing your relationships, you know, the one to yourself and your and other people around you. And the one to yourself is very important because you're learning about yourself. And I think with journaling, that's what it is. It's the self-exploration, this voyage to the interior, I like to call it, of you learning who you are and what you like and what you don't like. And so that's what journaling is. You know, it's you understanding yourself, you documenting your experiences throughout life to help guide you better in the future.
Thank you. And you mentioned in your journey that after grad school and through the experience of academic perfectionism, which I'm sure many listeners can relate to, whether it's in academia or, you know, whatever, however that manifests in their life. I think there is a certain generation, I think, especially with women, where there's a certain sort of like pressure to perform. And that can lead, as you said, to a lot of to exhaustion, really, because we're all human beings and not, you know, I always say, like, I had this moment, I think, at the beginning of the pandemic, where it was the first time I guess had stopped and been forced to stop in a while. And it was like, oh, right, I'm a human being, not a human doing. I don't need to do to have value. I need to just be and be a human to have value. And that includes everybody, right? But when we have that kind of experience where there is burnout or there is sort of exhaustion in a different way, as you said, in your experience, like that can lead to this self-exploration on a new level. But I'm curious, like in that component of your journey, your experience, what specifically, was there a catalyst for you to say, hey, you know, I need to take a pause or implement something that's going to allow me to reflect rather than kind of continuing to go, go, go?
Yeah. And it was right after, you know, completing that degree, that it was that feeling of true exhaustion, that true burnout that I never experienced before, because I was going, and I wasn't stopping. I wasn't pausing. I wasn't reflecting. And it just came to a halt. My body physically was like, okay, if I continue to go down this path of, you know, high performance and not stopping, I'm going to either get really sick, you know, and that's going to cause a lot of other issues with, you know, my health. So it was from a health standpoint of, I need to stop, I need to slow down. And I'm others around me, friends and family noticed that, you know, you did a lot and you need to honor this time to slow down and pause, because I think sometimes we get into the mindset of thinking, oh, well, if I slow down, then I'm not going to be productive, right? I'm not going to make any progress on my goals or anything like that. But the opposite is true. If we slow down and we give ourselves that time to reflect and pause, we're actually honoring ourselves and are able to jump back into our work with that much more vitality and energy to do more and to, you know, be better and healthier.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it really is incredible when you take that time to reflect and just kind of get your emotions out of your body, which I think journaling really helps and allows us to do. And, you know, it's interesting because I think some of the barriers maybe to entry, and you can, it'll lead me into a question, but, you know, when I read back my journals from college specifically, my 12-year-old self was very unhinged. And like my one or two journal entries I still have, or I'm aging myself, I'm 35, but if anyone had live journal too, like my live journal entries are a wild experience to read. But my college entries, I feel like I almost wrote them like with a filter. So future me, like I wrote about what I was going through. I wrote about the pain. Some entries are super unhinged, but for the most part, it was like, because I remember what happened, I also read it back and I'm like, wow, you were holding back here, or you didn't write how it all felt. You know, it's interesting to read it back, kind of. I feel like I filtered myself even in my own journal, which is wild to read back. And it was actually a therapist. That's when I started journaling again, because my therapist in my late 20s was like, I think this would be really beneficial for you. And then she also shared, and I said that I was like, well, you know, that's when I noticed. I was like, well, I think I write to read it back. And she was like, well, why don't you write planning to never read it back? Right. Like that was kind of the guidance she gave me of like, just put it all on paper and you never have to read it again. And now I'm like, I've been journaling consistently since I was probably like 27 or 28, whenever I started therapy. It's been a long time. So I have journals full of pages I won't read back. Or when I have gone back and kind of looked through them, I'm like, wow, I'm so unfiltered. And so that kind of leads me into that like barrier to entry sometimes is, how did you really get started? What was your process of like putting it on paper? And because I do think there is a little bit, at least there was for me, and I talk to people about that, where there is this like, even being fully honest with yourself sometimes I think can be a little hard on pen to paper. So I don't know if you had any like barrier to entry that way, or if it was a learning curve to get yourself to really put it on paper, if you can maybe share that part of your experience or any advice you have for anyone who might feel that way.
Yeah. And I did feel that way. It was a level of honesty and bravery I wasn't ready to address or kind of be or act in that way. And it did take therapy, right? It took therapy to help me learn how to be honest with myself, to face myself, the hard challenges that I was dealing with. And so from that, writing it down on paper, that was my hesitation, because I felt like if I wrote it down on paper, it's real and it's true. And it felt very intimidating to read my thoughts, you know, because if I kept it in my head, thoughts are fleeting. It'll go away and then I'll forget it. And I can pretend to go on like, you know, it never happened, but it was something about writing it down that made it feel very real. So I think a lot of the times, if that's the hesitation, then I would advise you to just do it. Just write one word. If journaling for a long amount of time is intimidating or it feels too overwhelming, I say just start with one word to describe your day or to describe how you feel in that moment. And the more you journal, the more you just show up to the page with that bravery and that honesty, then you'll get those reps in, and then you'll build that confidence to go deeper and deeper and deeper. I think before there were like prompts that I would do, and then I would answer the prompts, but that didn't feel like I was going deep enough, or I felt very shy to answer some questions. So challenging myself to just be brave and to know that just because I wrote it down isn't a bad thing. It's actually a good thing, because I'm releasing what I'm feeling and I'm, you know, centering myself.
Thank you. Yeah. What you said about the sort of like the resistance to writing it down, because then all of a sudden it feels real in a different way. I was like, whoa, I think I relate to that. Because it's almost like, is it like, am I putting it out there, even if it's like the dark stuff or the, you know, the stuff you don't want to face? And yeah, something you just said just like really spoke to me. So that actually, I think I'm going to like take that. Thank you. This is the benefit of getting to be the host and interviewing kind of like all these amazing people, is like reaping the benefit of your wisdom in your kind of space too. So, I know that you talk about like, there's sometimes there's flaws in traditional approaches to journaling, and maybe this kind of coincides with what Erica was just talking about, was like, oh, the barrier to entry some people feel. Are there any other things that like, if people are feeling resistance or feel a certain way or preconceived notion about the journaling process, is there anything you can share on that for us?
Yeah, I think a lot of times too on social media, we see journaling as like this romanticized and very poetic practice, you know, morning pages, and it looks gorgeous. And then we think that that's how journaling should be, or it, that it can only look like that, right? So getting out of that idea that it has to look one way, or it has to look perfect. You know, journaling is the most imperfect thing, because it's raw and it's human and it's real. So if that, you know, if you just think of it from that way, or think of it from that perspective of, you know, I'm a human, I'm having a human experience, and I'm documenting it, then that relieves some of the pressure that you may place on yourself with journaling, and thinking that it has to be this beautiful act of self-care. And it could be messy. It could be beautiful some days. It just depends on how you're feeling and how your emotions show up that day.
That's really interesting, Q. Sorry, I was just going to like continue that thought. Is that the, it's like removing the self-judgment around the process, I think, is probably pretty powerful. And that's like where like the scary stuff is, but it's like, it doesn't have to look a certain way. It doesn't have to be a certain way. It doesn't even have to feel a certain way. It can just be like a practice, right? If I'm getting that correct. And, and so, yeah. So if, I guess if someone is new to this, like a little bit speaking for myself, 'cause like I said, I have journaled before, but now the way you guys are talking about it, I'm recognizing like what some of the moments that I felt like felt a little surfacey for me with the experience, versus moments where I think with a prompt, like I didn't even realize this, but do you know the writer Suleika Jaoud? I think her last name's pronounced Jaoud. Do you know Suleika Jaoud? She's incredible. She wrote a book called Between Two Kingdoms. She's actually married to John Batiste, the artist, the singer, musician. But she's an incredible like New York Times bestselling writer, but she also does these prompts like in a creative writing way. And I just had this like epiphany when you were talking. I was like, oh, that, like I've done those a couple times. And that's the only time I felt like really authentic in the experience, because I didn't think of it as like, oh, me journaling like what I think I want to feel. But it was like a creative kind of experiment in a moment. And that's when like real stuff came out. So thank you. I think a lot of what you're saying is enlightening me right now. But yeah, so as far as like prompts go, can you talk to us a little bit about that and how you work with them and how you create them?
We want to take a quick break from this episode to tell you about BTR Nation. BTR is a female-founded food brand that is on a mission to end mindless snacking with their protein bars with a purpose. BTR bars and chocolate truffle cups are plant-based and made with no gluten, no dairy, no soy, no added sugar, no corn or rice syrups, no GMOs, no natural flavors, no sugar alcohols, no stevia, no inflammatory ingredients, and no gums or fillers. It's the cleanest label in the category. They only use ingredients that you can pronounce and adaptogenic superfoods like reishi, lion's mane, and cordyceps.
Allie and I love BTR bars and always have them in our cabinets. I am currently loving the cinnamon cookie dough energy bars, and the cherry dark chocolate truffle cups are my favorite sweet treat. Founder and owner Ashley Marie found inspiration for her brand in an unlikely place at an unlikely time, at the hospital cafeteria. When both of her parents were diagnosed with cancer, her life turned upside down as she became their caretaker and her own nutrition began to suffer. Ashley was devouring protein bars when she could, as many of us do, to fit in a meal or a snack. Most of the bars she quickly discovered were filled with sugar. After her parents passed away, she founded her bar brand based on their family mantra, be bold, tenacious, and resilient, BTR.
If you want to try BTR bars and truffle cups, you can save 20% on your order with code COURAGEOUSWELLNESS at btrnation.com. You can also find this link in our show notes and Linktree on Instagram.
So what prompts, I use them sparingly, right? Because not all the prompts that I find are going to be relatable to me. So when I do find prompts, I choose the ones that I feel like I can kind of dive deep on. So I usually pick for the start of the day or in the morning, I'll choose something really light and easy to get me going. And then at night, I'll probably choose a prompt that kind of allows me to reflect on the day. Maybe it's a little tougher in the question, but it's to help me expand and to really dive deep on what was I feeling that day, or what, you know, what kind of negative emotion do I want to release and onto the page. I think with prompts though too, it's good to know that you can answer it at a surface level, or, you know, you can challenge yourself to go deep on it. With the method that I like the most, Roses, Thorns, and Buds, that allows me to look at my day from a holistic point of view. So not so much a prompt, but more like a guide or kind of categorizing moments of my day that I want to document or I want to remember. So with prompts, it's up to you, right? It's whatever you think that is going to help you in the moment. And not all prompts are going to be the best, but just choosing ones that kind of relate to you in a way.
Yeah, it makes so much sense. And, you know, you now have this beautiful journal with guided prompts, Roses, Thorns, and Buds, and it looks beautiful. And I'm really excited to use it and try it and dive into it because it's so interesting. As I mentioned, I think I started really deeply journaling around like 27, 28, somewhere in there, my late 20s. And now at 35, you know, this last year has been so challenging. We've dealt with so many, the last 4 years, we've been dealing with so much family health issues in my family and my side and my husband's side, just both of our parents. You know, it's the cycle of life, right? Birth, aging, sickness, death, you know, and I know Allie has experienced a lot of that too in the last 4 years as well. And, you know, it's interesting because I find that in this last year, I've actually journaled less than I ever have, just because my plate has been so full with caretaking and there's just, you know, all the things that come with this season of life I'm in. And so I'm actually so excited because I find, right, it's my brain is so full and there's so much pain and stuff in my body and all of the processing, but I've been, you know, I've been trying to find like healthy escapes of like going into, I'm deep into romanticy. Our listeners know this. I talk about it like every week in our updates, but like, right. So I'll like turn on like a Bravo reality show, or I'll go into like my romanticy book universe hole, but I haven't really fully processed this year. And anyway, this is a long way of me saying, you know, I feel like now kind of coming out of it, I'm finally ready to start processing, and I'm doing somatic work and all of this stuff, but I keep feeling the call to like get back to my journal, but it's almost like I don't even know where to, it's like starting over again in a little way.
And so I'm actually, it brings me, I definitely want to talk about your journal, because I think that is something too about prompts is, if you like, I think I need some help, you know, like getting pen to paper at this phase, even as a journaler, as somebody who has journals full of journal pages, you know, I have so many that have been completed. So can you talk to us a little bit about, you know, birthing this creation of this beautiful journal, and how it kind of came, like it, if we can just talk about the process and how it really has been a tool to help people get into themselves.
Yeah. So the journal came to fruition last year, and it came as an extension of the newsletter, right? The digital newsletter. And it was a call to support the community in a deeper way, because there was that issue that you just mentioned, Erica, like, where do I start? How do I get my pen to the page? And so I noticed like this was a hurdle that a lot of women, a lot of people dealt with when it came to journaling, that kind of made them not want to start at all. Right? It was scary to just get started. So the Roses, Thorns, and Buds method was adopted by Boy Scouts of America. And so they would go out into the field and they would write about, you know, their roses, thorns, and buds. So the roses were the positive moments, the thorns were the negative moments, pitfalls, any shortcomings. And the buds were these really beautiful explorations or new learnings, goals. And they'd come back and they'd share that in a collective. And it served as this like knowledge forum to help everyone feel supported and just increases this empathy, right, in a group setting. So I learned about that and I said, well, this would be a great idea and framework for a journal, mainly because of the collaborative nature of it. And sometimes it takes that collaborative nature of you partnering with a loved one, you know, a friend, a family member, a partner, to help you bridge that gap to journaling. So when you're talking to your loved one, that moment of expression and vulnerability and rawness and comfort is the perfect place and setting to journal, because you're already there emotionally. You're already there. So then to pull out your journal and leverage that opportunity to document what you're feeling, what you're saying, makes it that much easier to feel like, okay, this could be journaling. Journaling can be collaborative. I don't have to do this alone. It doesn't have to be a siloed activity. I can bring someone into this healing journey with me. And while I'm supporting me, I'm supporting them, and we're supporting each other.
That's really beautiful. You know, Erica and I met, we talk about this sometimes on the show, but we met each other through our Buddhist practice. And there's this idea of, practice for self and practice for others. Like they're not, you can't like separate them. It's like when you practice for yourself and elevate your own life condition, you're able to show up in a different way to support others. And when we chant as part of the practice, but then when you also chant and support others, you actually receive deep benefit too. And so it's like intricately linked. It's sort of this concept of like interdependence. And I know you talk a lot about community wellness, and that's something that's important to us as well. And really appreciate your work on that, especially since we found each other. I've seen on your Instagram feed, it's really beautiful content. And I think really important content in the context of the wellness space, because oftentimes we know there's like every industry, there can be a lot of kind of issues, lack of equity, lack of accessibility, lack of equality, like all different things, right? Like the list goes on. But what I think is so beautiful, the way you're talking about your journal, is that you can both have like include other relationships, and that also that sort of like inconspicuous benefit you were talking about earlier, where it's like it actually can like really improve and make us closer to others while we're also getting to know ourselves in a way, in a deeper way. And so thank you for elaborating on that, because I think that really dispels some of this sort of like, oh yeah, I journal, like sort of like the stereotypes around journaling, if that's the way to even kind of articulate that, you know, where it's like, sometimes it's like, oh yeah, I'm just like, I'm not a journaler. It's like, but what else can this practice really help us with in our lives? And then in our families and in our friendships and in our local communities too. It's like, I've never thought about it in that way. And I think the way you explain it makes a whole lot of sense. So yeah, thank you for kind of having that point of view and approach to it as well.
I was just thinking too, that this is such a wonderful way to spend time with a loved one, right? I love doing this at the dinner table to ask my friends, like on a Friday, like, how was your day or how was your week? You know, but we use the language of what was your rose or what was your thorn or what was your bud? And so we have this shared language for how we talk about moments in our lives that makes us feel very connected, you know, and it also kind of de-escalates some of that pressure when it comes to those thorns and those negative moments, because now we find relatability. Now we're like, okay, we all had, you know, this sticky kind of thing that happened today that, you know, was a thorn. And then we can celebrate our roses together. And then we can talk about our buds, things that we learned. And so, yeah, it's that community building. It's that feeling like you're being supported in your relationships. That is the beautiful benefit of when you do collaborative journaling.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. And you just reminded me too, because something that's been, I feel like, coming up a lot, or we get asked a lot, and even through different conversations we've been having, is, you know, I think a lot of people want to, especially after the last 4 years with the pandemic and everything we've been through, I think people really want to deepen their connections with each other. And also, right, there's the sober curious movement is happening. People are also, right, trying to save more money. And the question that comes up a lot is, I want to spend time with my friends, but it seems like the only ways to do that, right, are going out for cocktails, going out for even like a $7 coffee in Los Angeles now. It's so insane, you know, going out for me, right? It's all this like outside activities. Or if we're inside, you know, maybe we're watching TV or having glass of water, like, right, it's all of these activities, but they don't always form these deep connections. And I think this idea, I think this is such a great activity to do with your friends, with your family, with your own community, is have a journaling night, have a roses, thorns, and buds night, like you're talking about, you know. I think this is something that can be really special. And it was recently too, you know, not to be so woo and witchy, but I've been finding that like when I spend time with my friends, we'll read together, or we'll do oracle cards or tarot, right? Like we'll try to do these things that are bring us into ourselves. And I don't know why, it until this conversation, I never thought, like, what about journaling together? What about pulling out, you know, a guide or these prompts that you have, and really using it as a tool of connection? So I think that's really, it's just something I never thought of before as like as something to do in community. And I really appreciate you sharing all of that. And yeah, and I think you mentioned it too when you broke down the prompts, but if anyone is listening and they want to start today, or they're like, okay, I just listened to this episode, I'm going to take pen to paper, obviously going to buy Royce's journal, but you know, today, what can I do? Can you maybe break down just step by step? I know you talked about it a little bit already, but kind of that, where they should start, what they should do, and how to begin, kind of after listening to this episode.
Yeah. So if you're inspired to journal after this episode, I would say the first thing you should do is set your environment for journaling. I think when you have a special maybe location or a special setting, maybe you're playing, you know, music, you know, something light and easy, you have your tea or your beverage of choice, you maybe light a candle, set the mood for, and be very intentional about that. I think with journaling, it makes it more special when you're intentional and you're saying, I'm going to create my environment and curate it for this experience. And then maybe, you know, if you have a journal laying around the house, or, you know, you buy the RTB journal, or even if you just have a sticky note, something that you can write on while you're in that mood, while you're in that setting, and just start small. You could maybe journal about how journaling makes you feel in that moment. You know, it doesn't have to be this big thing to start. It doesn't have to be this scary monster or this overwhelming activity or a chore. It could just be you taking time for yourself to write a couple things down. You could draw. You know, I love creative journaling sometimes, and in the RTB journal, there are no lines. And it's for that reason, because sometimes you may not have words, or you might not want to write anything. Maybe you want to draw or doodle or sketch or paint. Whatever helps you express yourself best in that moment, that's what you should do. And you should honor that.
That's cool. Yeah. Thank you. And I love that you're like, yeah, you can journal about how you feel about journaling. I mean, like, what a good place to start if you're kind of like in that weird space that we were talking about and exploring before. It's sort of like there's no rules, and to allow ourselves that kind of like freedom with it is awesome. Since this community has grown, you know, you started this, you said, as like a passion and really for yourself initially, and then you did your newsletter, your Sunday newsletter, and then now you have the journal, and you have the kind of online community that's developed. What have been some of like your observations or even your experiences with connecting with others in this community? And like, what have you learned through your community's experiences with journaling? Like, is there anything you've learned through people who have like taken on some of your prompts and your advice in this space?
Yeah. It's been received so well, and I am so grateful for that. One, because the RTB method is a new concept for a lot of people. So a lot of what we've been doing at Well Girl is education, and you'll see it on our Instagram, you'll see it in our Substack blog. And I wanted to focus so much on education because I knew for a method like this that many people didn't know about, there was going to be some hesitation even with that. You know, there was already hesitation with journaling, and now there's a method now. So I wanted to present this in a way that made it feel really accessible, really approachable. And so everything from, you know, the branding, the language, the messaging, I wanted it all to meet people where they're at right now. Because, you know, if you take the journal, the RTB journal, and that encourages you to maybe do morning pages, or now you want to do more advanced journaling, that's great. But this, I wanted it to serve as a jumping board, a starter to get people to just, again, put pen to paper and overcome that fear. And that is one thing that I noticed, even with, you know, the evolution of Well Girl, it's busting these myths and these stereotypes that journaling has to be this one way, and that I can't, you know, give myself the flexibility or the freedom to do this how I want to do it. So if anything, the brand, the messaging is all to say journaling is so personal. It's whatever you want it to be. There are no rules. The only rule is to show up and be honest and be brave. And if you do that, then you're on your way.
Very cool. Thank you for sharing that. And you know, as we begin to wrap up, we always have three questions. I'm actually really interested in your answer for the first one. So the question is, what does your daily self-care look like in this phase of your life? And I guess, how does journaling fit into it on a daily basis for you at this point?
Yeah. Self-care for me is journaling at night. That is my routine. That is the most consistent thing that I have in my self-care routine. I like skincare and hair care as well, but journaling is better. And, you know, in terms of me learning about myself, right? So that's something that's been pretty steady, and I do it every night. And some nights, you know, if I don't fit it in, if I don't have the time or if I'm not up for it, I give myself that grace, right? And I think that's important to know that, yes, it's important to be consistent, but it's also important to give yourself grace when you do fall short of that. So with journaling, I do like to have it stack. And that's actually the, you know, what I intended this method to be best for is you, when you're talking to your friends or your family, to kind of leverage that time, that opportunity to pull out the journal. So it makes it easier to establish that habit, right? Because you're already in the habit of talking to your friends and family. Why not add on journaling to help get consistent in that? But yeah, it's the forgiveness and it's the grace that you need to have when starting any new habit. You know, it's not going to click. It's not a, you know, a light switch that you can just click on and immediately have this established perfect habit, but it's something that you try your best at every day. And when you do fall short, just giving yourself that grace and that forgiveness to say, okay, I'll pick it up tomorrow or I'll pick it up eventually, but I will get back to it. And that's a commitment and a promise that I hold to myself.
It's really great advice too. Thank you. The next question we always ask is, what does being courageous mean to you?
Yes. So being courageous means facing adversity, even when the outcome is uncertain, or if you know you're going to be met with some difficulty and some discomfort, but moving forward anyway.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you. And then the last one is, of course, in addition to your own journal, which everybody should go out and buy, do you have a recommendation for a book? It can be on anything. We like to hear what, you know, something that's meant something to you personally.
Yeah. I would say How We Heal by Alex L. Mm. It is the most beautiful book on transformation and about the insightful wisdom about self-discovery and the restorative power of well-being. She has many other books, but How We Heal is, it's gorgeously written and very impactful. So that would be my recommendation.
Cool. Thank you for that referral. And then if anybody does want to find you, follow you, buy the journal, work with you, how can they do that?
Yeah. Follow us on Instagram at WellGirl. All our resources to our Substack blog and the link to buy the journal Amazon are linked in our bio.
Thank you. And we'll link that in show notes for anybody as well who's interested in buying it. Thank you so much for this conversation. We really appreciate it.
I loved it. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Courageous Wellness. Tune in every Wednesday for a new episode featuring a different guest each week. Subscribe, rate, and write us a nice review. And you can also follow us on Instagram at Courageous Wellness or get in touch via our website, www.courageouswellness.net, where you can also find additional info about our health coaching services, virtual group events, newsletter, and more. Until next week, I'm Allie.
And I'm Erica, and we're Courageous Wellness.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.